Well, I'm going to have to use another cough drop, and I'm going to wind up going to an eye, ear, nose, throat specialist after all. I have one here before long, but I'm still having trouble with the cough. Whenever I try to sing and speak, but you bear with me, okay? Philippians chapter number 2 this morning. We're going to wrap up, Lord willing, this chapter. We've been talking about living in a sinful world. We've been basing it upon the verses and verse number 15. And we'll look at verses 13 through 15 just to begin with. Because 13 is applicable to what we're going to be taking a look at today. For it is God which worketh in you, Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We talk about living in a sinful world. And we come to the last message this morning. If you've been in church any amount of time, as I have, you probably have come across some of the Lord's choicest servants and who have made a great and lasting impact upon the church that you were going to and the lives of others that were there, and even maybe your own life. I know that's certainly the case with every church that we've been a part of. Even as I say those words, faces of certain individuals in each church that I've been associated with come to mind. Even some of the churches where we wound up having some problems at, I've been blessed to have some very special people touch and influence my life in great and lasting ways through their service for the Lord. And I've been blessed to have been around some special folks who displayed the very presence of God in their lives and were a great blessing to those whose lives they touched, including mine. I received a blessing just because of their service for the Lord. Now understand that I'm not just talking about preachers or even teachers at those churches, but about some folks who were just some of the Lord's choicest servants. Even though they may not have been in the limelight, they nevertheless were great servants of God, and it was very evident in their life. Now, in our text this morning, we're going to see two special servants of the Lord who were of tremendous help to the Apostle Paul. They served the Lord Jesus Christ faithfully. One of those servants is Timothy, or Timotheus, and the other is Epaphroditus. And let's read the text for this morning. We'll begin reading verse number 19. Paul writes here, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel." What a blessing. Amen. Verse 23. "Him therefore I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him, therefore, the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him, therefore, in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of a service toward me. Now, Timothy we're familiar with. It's believed that Paul first met Timothy on his first missionary journey. Timothy is first mentioned in Acts 16. We'll be there in a little bit. Acts 16, verses 1 through 3. On Paul's second missionary journey, no doubt during Paul's first missionary journey was when Timothy got saved. And he had been in the church a while. And by the time you get to that second missionary journey, we find that he's been faithful. He's recognized already in the church at Lystra. And regardless of when it was, Paul considered the young Timothy as his own dearly beloved son, as he puts it. Own dearly beloved son in the faith. In fact, in 1 Timothy 1:2, he addressed the first epistle to Timothy, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. And in 2 Timothy, as he began writing it, he said in 2 Timothy 1:2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. So, no doubt the Apostle Paul had a great impact upon this young man as he enlisted the young Timothy to be one of his fellow laborers. Paul took Timothy under his wing and discipled him. And under the leadership of the Apostle Paul, Timothy was molded into the great servant that he became. And it was very beneficial to the ministry of Christ and became a great helper to the Apostle Paul, especially in the last days of the Apostle Paul's ministry. So what characteristics make for a servant of the Lord? Now we're talking about if we're living in a sinful world, we need to still be servants of God. And what we're talking about today is being servants of the Lord. What does it take? What does it require? What are the characteristics for a servant of the Lord? First of all, we see being a servant of the Lord requires a servant's heart. It requires a servant's heart. As we read the scriptures, it's obvious that Paul was concerned about the churches he ministered to. And here, he was concerned about the church at Philippi. And he addressed some of those concerns as he wrote the letter. But he wanted to send someone to both convey his concern and to accurately report back to him on the welfare of the church. Paul was imprisoned in Rome at the time of writing this epistle. There were certainly a great number of believers in Rome, and we know Paul sent greetings to 26 of them by name when he wrote the last chapter of the book of Romans. Yet it appears that none of them there at Rome were available to make this important trip for Paul. They were so busy about their own lives that they had no time for this important work. Look at verse 20 and 21 again. He says, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all men, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." Now, sadly, this is one of the great and growing tragedies in most churches today. It seems as though more and more we see that a great majority of believers' time, energy, and concern are diverted away from the things that should matter the most. And they're diverted toward things that are selfish and toward temporal rather than the eternal. Now, even though Paul had no one else that he could depend on. He knew that Timothy cared for people. He'd been around Timothy long enough to understand that Timothy had a heart for people just like the Apostle Paul had a heart. Timothy cared for people. He was concerned about their needs. And Paul's desire was to send Timothy to do what the Apostle Paul could not do himself. Timothy had a godly concern for the welfare of others because he had a servant's heart. Now, Timothy was not involved in promoting his own interests. Rather, he was interested only in others, including the spiritual condition of God's people. How did this godly concern develop? Well, that brings us to the next point. And that's this. Being a servant of the Lord requires a servant's training. It requires a servant's heart, but you get a servant's heart a bit by being around folks that train you in how to have a servant's heart. And the kind of heart that Timothy had was not a natural trait. It doesn't come automatically. By nature, each of us are prone to be selfish. We just are, and look after our own interests. Timothy became what he was because of the diligent efforts of other choice servants of the Lord. Now I want you to hold your place there in Philippians and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. First of all, there was a training under faithful family members. Now, Timothy's father was a Greek. We're never told that he was a believer. But he had a mother and a grandmother who were both believers who had a tremendous influence upon him. There was training under this faithful grandmother and mother. Look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. In other words, they had a genuine faith. He had a genuine faith. He said, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. He knew the heart of his mother, Timothy's mother and grandmother. And he could see those character traits coming out in this son and grandson that Timothy had become. Look at chapter number 3 and look at verse 14 and 15. It says, but continue thou, he's encouraging Timothy in the midst of evil men and seducers waxing worse, there in verse 13. He's convincing him and encouraging him to continue. He says, but continue thou in the things, verse 14, which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's not just the character traits that Lois and Eunice transferred to Timothy. It was the Word of God. They knew the Word. They taught him the Word. And what a blessing it was for Timothy to have that word ground him at an early age. I thank God for those that helped ground me in the Word of God when I was little. Even before I was saved, I knew a lot of the Word of God. When I got saved, the book came more alive to me. But there was training under faithful family members, and that ought to be the case today. There ought to be faithful family members that are training the children. Then we see there was training under the apostle. Now, we know that Paul mentioned, I'm going to have you stay there in 2 Timothy. We're going to look at some other verses there. But and the book of Ephesians, in chapter number 4, verse 11 and 12, it says that he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And He had an opportunity to sit under an apostle. Now we don't have that. Liberty in our day and time. There's no need for apostles anymore because we have the complete book, got the complete Word of God. But we do have pastors and teachers, and thank God for them. But there was training under the apostle that Timothy benefited from, and we see this in 2 Timothy 1. And verse number 13, 2 Timothy 1, verse 13, the Apostle Paul tells him to hold fast. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, and faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And then look at chapter number 2, verse 1 and 2. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Notice this. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Then chapter 3, look at verse number 10. And I like what he says here. He's talking about the perilous times that were going to come. And talking about those that strayed from the faith and were straying, but he looks back to and wants Timothy to understand in verse number 10. Understand that Paul's not moving anywhere. Okay, he's not drifting away from the truth. He says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra." That's where he met Timothy. Timothy was able to see the things that the Apostle Paul went through as he ministered. He says, "What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." He didn't paint a flowery picture of how the Christian life was and everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, you're going to face some persecution if you try to live for Christ. You want to do the right thing? Expect that you're going to have some folks that will come against you. Look at verse number 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, okay, and been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned. He learned from mother and grandmother, but he also learned from the Apostle Paul and others. There was the training under others in the church at Lystra. Look at Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. And this is where we see the Apostle Paul went with Barnabas, and they established the church there at Lystra, where Timothy was. Timothy lived in Lystra. But in Acts 14, look at verse 6 and 7. So they were aware of it and fled. And they were aware of that somebody wanted to stone them. Somebody had it in for them and were fixing it. They wanted to put their hands on them. And so it was a multitude that was doing that. And so we see there in verse 6, they were aware of it and fled into Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Well, that's what they would do. They go to a town, preach the gospel, establish a church, start teaching. Excuse me. Grounding folks in the scripture. Now look it down in verse number 21 and 22. Verse 21. They got kicked out of Lystra too, by the way. Lystra and Derbe. And they went elsewhere. And here we find them going back. It says in verse 21, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." So here's Timothy growing up in Lystra, and we see him mentioned in chapter number 16, and this is on the Paul's second missionary trip Timothy is mentioned, but Timothy was already saved, and Timothy was already known to be a help in the church there. Look at Acts chapter number 16, verse 1 and 2. So then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So we see Timothy already developing a name in the faith, knowing that he is faithful to the Lord. But understand that all of this training was in the Scriptures. It was in the Scriptures. So being a servant of the Lord requires a servant's heart. Being a servant of the Lord requires a servant's training. And then thirdly, I want you to see that being a servant of the Lord requires the actions of a servant. Now, just to call one a servant of the Lord does not make them a servant of the Lord. If you're a servant of the Lord, that means you're serving. Amen. To be a servant of the Lord requires the actions of a servant. And when we see the epistles that Paul wrote and the interaction Paul had regarding Timothy, we see that certainly Timothy fit that bill. I mean, the Apostle Paul had enough confidence in him at one point to leave him with a very large church in Ephesus, and that's the reason for the writing of 1 and 2 Timothy. I'm sure Timothy was a little bit overwhelmed with the size of the church that he had been left with by Paul, but Paul knew he could do it with God's help. And Paul was writing to be an encouragement to him, and we know that anytime you serve, you need God's help. And we see that being a servant of the Lord requires the actions of a servant, and most certainly Timothy had that. But I want us to look at another servant that Paul mentions, one by the name of Epaphroditus. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a full-blooded Jew. Timothy was part Jew and part Gentile. His dad was a Greek. Epaphroditus was believed to be a full Gentile based on his name. He had a Greek name that meant charming. And there's something charming about one who lives his faith. Amen. And Epaphroditus was that type of individual. He was a member of the Philippian church who had risked both his life and health to deliver that church's missionary offering. They took up a missionary offering for the Apostle Paul in Rome. And they sent it to him. Epaphroditus, he was the one that volunteered, said, "I want to be the guy." And he went and he delivered that offering and he stuck around and he was able to be a servant to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, of course, being locked up, needed folks to do his running for him. And Epaphroditus was one of those that did help him. I want you to, we see that in verse number, chapter number 4, verse number 18 of our text. Look back at Philippians. Look at chapter number 4, verse 18. It says, "But I have all and abound." He said, "I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." So that's what Epaphroditus volunteered to do, carry that offering. He was successful in doing that. But I want you to note that he was a balanced believer. Look at verse 25 of our text. Verse 25 of our text there, Philippians 2, verse 25, he says, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus," notice what he calls him here, "my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger. He's acknowledging you sent him to me. And it says, and he that ministered to my wants. He was a balanced believer. Paul's threefold description of him, he was. We know he was saved. He was a brother. He was saved by believing the gospel, just as anybody was saved, which made him a brother in the Lord. He was a companion in labor, which means not only was he saved, but he was serving with others for the furtherance of God and the gospel. And he was a fellow soldier. He was a soldier defending the faith of the gospel. So he had a balanced life as a believer. But I want you to notice that he was a burdened believer as well. Verse 26 says, therefore he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. Somehow they got the message that when Epaphroditus went and was with the Apostle Paul, he had developed an illness. And notice how serious the illness was, verse 27. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Now he, like Timothy, showed his concern by his actions. He was burdened for the Apostle Paul and volunteered to deliver the church's love gift. He wasn't content just giving an offering. He also partly became the offering. I mean, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to help the Apostle Paul. And he did so. And he was burdened about the Apostle Paul, but he was also burdened about his church there in Philippi, because we see that they were concerned for him. When they heard that he was sick, they had a godly concern for him. And I want you to note that he was a beloved believer as well. Look at verse 28. It says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. I think that sorrow that the Apostle Paul had was, oh man, I can't. I'm going to have to do without Epaphroditus, and we'll send him back. I'm going to have to do a little bit on my own here, because he was a real help to the Apostle Paul. Look at verse 29. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and holds such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. In other words, he's not getting on to the Philippians. He was just saying, all y'all weren't able to come, but Epaphroditus stepped in, and he was the help that I needed. That's what he was saying. What a tragedy it is to go through life and not be a blessing to anyone. Epaphroditus was not that way. He was a blessing to Paul, and he was a blessing to his church. And Paul exhorted the church at Philippi to honor him. I mean, here he was coming back. They'd be concerned about him. God spared him. And he continued to sacrifice and service for the Lord. And we know that Christ is supposed to get all the glory. Whatever you and I do for the Lord, we should just pass the glory on to Him. But there is nothing wrong with honoring those who glorify Christ with their life and service. And that's what the Apostle Paul was encouraging Epaphroditus' church to do. I'd say, this guy's been through a lot, and he did it on my behalf, and he did it in your stead. Take and treat him well. In fact, listen to what Paul wrote the Thessalonian Christians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. He says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. So we're to thank God for working in others when others have been a blessing in our life. give God the glory, but it don't hurt to give a little pat on the back too to those workers. But Epaphroditus had sacrificed himself with no thought of reward, but Paul encouraged the church to honor him. So we've seen here in Philippians three great servants of the Lord. First, the Apostle Paul, then Timothy, and Epaphroditus. All three of these men were cut out of the same pattern that we are to follow, and that is the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were following in the footsteps of Christ. Timothy and Epaphroditus were doing, as Paul had said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so it's about following the Lord. And their lives were influenced by others who came before them so that they became a great influence in the lives of even more. I want you to think about today when you go home. Think about the people that had an influence on you for the cause of Christ. That you serve God today because they served God and helped you in your life. Do you have this morning, do you have what it takes to be an influential servant yourself? Being a servant of the Lord requires a servant's heart. It requires a servant's training. And it requires the actions of a servant. A servant serves. Amen. It's part of the name. It begins with salvation. Only as we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ can we have and develop a servant's heart. Only as we allow His Word, His Holy Spirit, and His servants to teach us can we gain the required training to become the proper servants of the Lord that the Lord would have us to be. We're all growing in being servants of the Lord. Even your pastor is still growing. Even at age 68, I'm still growing in knowing how to serve the Lord properly. And only as the Lord Jesus Christ lives His life through our lives will our lives show the actions of a proper servant of the Lord. So let me ask in closing here, are you putting into practice what you know, what you've been taught? That's what made Timothy and Epaphroditus the servants that they were. They not only learned sitting up under somebody, hearing somebody, knowing the principles. It's great to know the principles in your heart. It's great to have been taught well, but are you applying it in your life? That's what's important, is to take what you've been given and do something with it. And that brings honor to the Lord Jesus Christ when you do that. And so let's make sure that we are proper servants of the Lord in this sinful world in which we live. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for these great examples from Scripture. Lord, we know that all Scripture is given by You and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction. And Lord, maybe in our own lives today, the area of our service, the area of our being servants, maybe we've touched on something that somebody realizes, hey, you know, I need some work in that area. And Lord, I just ask that You would stir them to obedience, to get what they need, to be what they should be for You, that You might be glorified in their lives. And Lord, we know it first takes salvation. So if there's one here today that does not know You as their Lord and Savior, help them to come first to know You. And then Your Holy Spirit will enter in. And He'll be a help to them. He'll be a teacher to them. And so will others, brothers and sisters in Christ, who invest in their lives to help them grow and the things of You. And Lord, we all need help in this life to be the servants that we ought to be. And I thank You for the many teachers and preachers and even laymen along the way that I learned not only from the lips of, but also from the examples of. And Lord, what a blessing to have my life touched by so many different people over the course of these almost 68 years that You've given me. Lord, Help us to continue in the things which we've learned. And Lord, glorify you in that. Have your way in this invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.